The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are getting your skulls crushed by the pile driver of John Orlando with his PBD cast in your face.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 270. I hope you're well out there, and I want to thank you for checking out this episode. And before I talk a little bit about my guests and whatnot, I just want to throw it out there that, especially for you folks that are living in Ohio, you know that Old Man Winter has returned with a vengeance. Over the last few days, a lot of snow has fallen across the state, and here in Columbus, Ohio, we got a fair share of snow, which, I don't know, I've been on record as saying that I don't mind winter. I know a lot of people hate winter, but I don't mind it. I think it ties into that whole being a fan of hockey, and hockey equals cold weather, maybe in my mentality, and that's why I don't mind it. But it does at times make it crappy to get around outside. But I want to talk about the pro wrestling pundits that are joining me once again, DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand. Last week, we gave a preview to the Royal Rumble, and now we're going to give a review. We're going to talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, what we think might be happening in the future as the WWE started the road to WrestleMania this past Sunday. So we're going to talk all about that, throw in a few other miscellaneous notes and news, and it's certainly going to be one great episode, especially if you are a fan of professional wrestling. But before we get to it, I probably need to let you know about the great sponsor of the PVD cast. And of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics from every single era, whether you're talking the gold, silver, bronze, or modern era. But they also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, thousands of back issues, posters. They got everything you need for your comic book fandom. So if you're in the Central Ohio area, stop on over to the store. But if you're not, you can still check them out. They have a great website, wgcomics.com, and they're even on Facebook. Just search for @WGComics. And if you interact with anyone from the store, please let them know that you heard about the store from yours truly right here on the PVD cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, the pro wrestling pundits, DJ Joy Blaze and Ringside Rant, sit down to chat with me about the Royal Rumble. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as I said last week, I would be joined once again by the pro wrestling pundits, Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze, as we are going to review the Royal Rumble. It just took place a mere few days ago. DJ Joey Blaze, how are you doing this evening?
I'll tell you what, when's the last time that we've actually done the podcast live all together?
A
year ago at this point?
It would be a year ago, yeah.
Yeah, because it's crazy, because I saw Consuela that did desserts in the green room actually right off the freeway. She's panhandling now, because you put her out of a job, because you won't do them live together anymore. We all have to do it remotely.
Well, first of all, I did not end her employment. COVID did. So let's make sure we put the blame where it belongs. And I did wish her I wished her the very best in all of her future endeavors.
I'm sure that usually makes it all right. I would have thought that Rand would have had a position for her in the Golden Ghetto.
Well, I already have a housekeeper. If anything happens to my lovely Diane and I, she gets the house and she will be the housekeeper.
Okay, well, I'm sorry I had to lay off all the staff at Casa de la Orlando. It was a hard decision to make, okay, but COVID ruined it for a lot of people. Rand, how are you doing this evening, by the way?
COVID has let me put several bartenders around town out of business, too.
That's sad.
I'm doing rather well. I'm about as well as I can be, having heard the bad news today.
What bad news is that?
Mark Sullivan was released.
Rand, you're funny. You got jokes tonight.
I got them.
All right. Well, let's start off, first of all, gentlemen, by just talking about the event overall. Okay. For those folks that are listening at home, we are going to go through each individual match. We're going to rate it based on a body slam system. 5 body slams means it was a really great match. 1 body slam means it was absolutely dreadful. But overall, how many body slams would you give the event as a whole? Let's start with you, Rand.
I'm going to give it 4. There are 2 forms of entertainment that really need an audience. Wrestling is one, and stand-up comedy is another. And no matter how good it is, it's just not the same without the crowd reaction. This might have been a great show to go to in person, but it was still above average, suffering from no crowd.
Well, that is a valid point to make. As we've talked many times about these pay-per-view events, they would be so much better with a live crowd. And hopefully we'll get there one day. DJ Joy Blaze, overall, what'd you think about
the Royal Rumble? Much like when I make love to my special someone, I need a live crowd as well. So COVID has hindered that. Anyway, other than that, I gave it, just because we lost somebody yesterday, I'll give it 4. Zoinks! Little shout out to Dustin Diamond. Rest in peace, Screech. But I'll give it 4 as well. There's a couple things. I think there's a couple things that could have happened that would have made it a 5. I enjoyed it. I don't know about the crowd thing, because you had a crowd. It was a hot crowd. It was a video crowd. I thought that was cool. There's just a couple things that lacked in a couple of the matches, and I'll be happy to elaborate on that as we go along.
You know what? I'm not too far off both you guys. I gave it 3 body slams overall. I felt like it was pretty solid. I agree with you, Joey. I think there's some things that probably could have been done better. Some matches could have been booked better. But I didn't hate it. I thought it was pretty solid from the get-go. I stuck with the middle of the road rating. I'll go with 3 body slams. All right. Well, let's move into the first match, which I'm going to be 100% honest. I cannot actually give a grade on this particular matchup. It was the WWE Women's Tag Team Title match. We saw Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defeat Charlotte and Asuka. And of course, as I kind of mentioned in my predictions, which I think I am the only one that selected them to win. Yes. And I said that somehow Lacey Evans would get involved. She does indeed punch Charlotte with an object. I got to be honest, I only saw the very end of the match. I didn't see the beginning of it because, again, the stupid pre-show kind of, I had it on, but then I thought I could go and do a few things. I came back and the match was going on, so I didn't see half of it. So I'm not going to grade this. From what I saw, it seemed to be okay and solid.
Well, I would go with about 3 body slams. And the reason being is, if this was the Iconics versus Bayley and Sasha, I think that would be maybe give it more. Because we keep throwing women together and we don't have actual women's tag teams competing, that kind of drives me nuts as far as the story. As we all know, I'm a big story person. So the story still kind of lacks. And I'm not really into the Charlotte, Lacey Evans, Ric Flair thing. So, I mean, it was okay for what it was. I was disappointed at the ending. So I gave it 3 body slams.
When I look at the 4 competitors, it's pretty obvious who the weak link is. This was about as good as she's going to do. When your finishing move is the leg drop, you're pretty limited. I think the other 3 are so much better than her. But I really think it was a really the most highly predictable interference finishing that you can imagine. Stevie Wonder saw this thing coming. It was really that predictable. So I'm giving it 2 out of 5 just because the other three are so good.
By the way, Rand, I love how coy you're being by not mentioning Nia Jax's name. That's very that's very coy of you. I'm not a fan, also Joey, of the Lacey Evans and Charlotte Flair and Ric Flair triangle. I think it's dumb. I don't get it. It kind of goes against what they have set up in the past, where Rick was so proud of his daughter, and it all started too with a simple, like, Charlotte gets mad at him and now he hates her. It just doesn't make sense. It's a ridiculous, dumb storyline.
You think it was too soon, that there should have been some time between him being proud of her and then being this dramatically opposed to her?
There needs to be something, Rand. I don't know if more time would have been the idea. I don't know.
Now, if this was Ric Flair 10 or 12 years ago, maybe. But, like, the dude's a senior citizen at this point.
Yeah,
like, now
okay.
So I think that's, like, my big thing. Like, he's not the nature boy. He's the nature Herbert from Family Guy. So he's like Herbert the pervert on there. Like, it's just gross at this point. That's why I don't like it.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point, Joey, and I would agree. There you go, Rand. If this was 10, 15 years ago, and it was 10 or 15 years ago, Ric Flair, maybe I'd be behind it. But, yeah, I'm not. Just let Lacey Evans take on Charlotte. Figure out a different way without Rick being involved to let those two have a rivalry, and I think it would be really good.
I think part of it, for me, too, is it just doesn't make sense with Lacey Evans' gimmick either. Like, she's not a slutty girl. She's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's, you know, this prim and proper.
It's Southern Belle.
So much of it doesn't make sense.
Well, and let's be honest, they flip-flopped her so many times. She came in, and I was really behind it because I like the Southern Belle gimmick, and you're all nasty and all that jazz. That's great. Then she became the face. Then she went back to being a heel. Then she went back to being out of nowhere. And none of, and, you know, I'm now a mother and I have this child. I'm trying to set a great example. Well, now you're not. Like, what happened to that? The whole storyline is awful, hands down. Well, moving on to our next match, which actually I feel was not awful. We are going to take a look at Goldberg taking on Drew McIntyre. I'm going to go ahead and go first since I kind of ruined it. I actually felt this match was better than I thought it was going to be. We got what we wanted. Claymore kicks. I thought it was all right, so I gave it 3 body slams.
I'm in the same camp. I was pleasantly surprised. Now, I watched, before the pay-per-view, I watched The Bump, and they actually interviewed Goldberg about it. So I kind of had a little bit of hype up behind it because he was talking about it, and he's like, you know, expect some more. But, like, I wasn't expecting an Iron Man match. But, you know, he talked about, you know, Spears, this, that, and the other. So I felt like they were going to put a little bit more into it. And I thought they played the Goldberg strength.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get to try anything different or out of control to make him feel uncomfortable. So I was pleasantly surprised, you know, the pre-match shenanigans. But I just want to know, does he know where the bodies are buried or something? How does he get to have these big one-off paydays?
Great question. I have no idea. Because if you recall, he's one of the few that right after the purchase of WCW, Vince wanted nothing to do with for years because he wasn't a WWE-produced product. And now, yeah, look how the times have changed. Every time they think they need a boost in ratings, call Goldberg.
I think it was a lot better than the Goldberg Fiend last year. I'm thinking this is an average 2.5 out of 5 body slams because there were no botches, but there really wasn't a whole lot of length to it. I think this was done so that they could use the name Goldberg to make Drew look more respectable. I just thought it was pretty average 2.5. Certainly it wasn't a championship caliber match that you would expect Drew to have.
Let's speculate a little bit here. So where does Drew go from here? Now, last night on Monday Night Raw, what I thought would happen at the Royal Rumble actually happened on Monday Night Raw, where Sheamus turned inexplicably, by the way, on Drew McIntyre. I was hoping there would be a little bit of a bigger build-up to that, but apparently not. And so are we seeing Sheamus versus Drew at WrestleMania, or are we just using this as kind of padding out Drew for the next couple pay-per-views before Mania?
I really don't see anything special about Sheamus and his flip-flop character. He seems like he's a face one week, a heel the next. We're not really sure what he is. He doesn't really look like he'd deserve a headline match at WrestleMania. I think he's just filler until maybe Edge.
Well, Joey, what do you think?
Well, here's the thing. They say it's going to be Edge versus Roman Reigns, and I would prefer to see Edge versus McIntyre, but I'm sure the whole storyline is going to be as Edge has never had the Universal title, so he wants a shot at it, and that's where they're going to go with this. Now, where does that leave Drew? I don't think there's going to be Drew versus Sheamus at Mania. I think there's going to be some sort of either brand flop as far as bringing somebody over, or this is where we insert Keith Lee, who was just weird that he wasn't in the Rumble, but after hearing that he might have been in contact with COVID, that's why he wasn't in it. So I think we're going to see Keith Lee versus Drew McIntyre at Mania.
What about possible, as there's been some rumors that maybe Drew is involved in a fatal four-way with various different contenders?
I could see something like that too, but who all would you put in there?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know, because you think they haven't built anybody, because clearly Randy Orton is going to feud, I guess, with The Fiend for Mania. I mean, I guess that's the direction they're going, as ridiculous as that is. Christian's back. You know, he could be somebody that's inserted in a fatal four-way, maybe, because they talked about former accolades of him on the Royal Rumble broadcast. I don't know who else you'd put in there besides maybe Christian. Maybe you throw in, I don't even know, an AJ Styles. He's got nothing going on.
Maybe you put in Dolph for some high spots.
Well, Dolph is probably going to be defending those tag belts with Robert Roode. So I don't know about that. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I personally think that I think it's going to be a better match for Edge to take on Roman Reigns, personally. I think that that's going to, because if Reigns beats him, and does beat him, I think, at Mania, that to me solidifies Reigns in his position as a main eventer if he could beat Edge. However, I think that they'll probably ruin that, because personally myself, if you're going to go Roman and Edge, I think they ought to have a slow build. They're not going to do that, but if I was booking things, it would be a slow build where you would keep them apart until about 2 or 3 weeks out from Mania. Let them do promos. Let them, you know, Edge, you want a match, you got to beat Jey Uso. Okay. You know, keep Roman away from Edge. And then those last couple of weeks, then you do the, you know, the pull apart at the contract signing, and you build that excitement to see that match. That's just my two cents.
Like, I could see like Edge and Christian versus the Usos.
Sure. Okay. That would be something different. Yeah.
Or something like at a pay-per-view. Yeah, I see that. And I think, although I would have preferred the other, because I think you could have taken Daniel Bryan and Shinsuke and had like a three-way with Roman Reigns or something like that. I mean, I still think if you do a fatal four-way with Drew, so I think in fact that, so AJ I think is good to put in there, Keith Lee, and then one other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe Braun Strowman.
And maybe it might be one-on-one McIntyre versus Strowman. Is he, you know, there could be, the possibilities are endless. I think a three-way with Keith Lee, Strowman, and McIntyre would be pretty hard-hitting, and Vince would be very, very erect for that.
All right, well, let's move along here. Drew McIntyre did pick up the victory, which Joey, you and I predicted, and Rand went out there with a very bold pick, picking Goldberg to win. Now, the next match we really didn't preview because I believe it was signed on SmackDown right before the Royal Rumble, and that is Sasha defending her SmackDown Women's title against Carmella. Let's start with you, Rand. What do you think about this match?
I didn't think it was a pay-per-view quality. I thought it was maybe a SmackDown or a Raw TV show quality match, and I gave it 2 out of 5 stars. I just didn't find it to be special. I found it to be good, but not special.
I enjoyed it. I'd give it 3.5 body slam, just because, I mean, it was, Carmella's come a long way from being with Enzo and Big Cass.
Mm-hmm.
And her career keeps evolving. She's putting in the hard work, and you're seeing it. week in and week out, whether it be through promos, through personality. I like the sommelier. I think that's pretty cool. It's fun. I mean, it's cool his background being a former Cirque du Soleil member.
Performer.
I guess, performer. So I enjoyed it for what it was, and it left the door open for a feud to possibly continue with that, too. So I went 3.5 body slams.
He's come a long way since James Ellsworth. He's gotten better since James Ellsworth.
Indeed she has. Indeed she has.
Did we realize that her dad was a wrestler at one point? And talent enhancement, like on 3 or 4 different episodes, but not a big timer?
Yeah. I agree with everything you said, Rand. I felt like this match was SmackDown quality. My only two notes that I have here is I felt that Sasha Banks' promo in the back was pretty heelish for somebody that's supposed to be the babyface. But more importantly, how did Carmella not kill herself with that dive to the floor?
Yeah, she missed that. She missed the pull, didn't she? Yeah.
Big time. I verbally was like, oh, God, because I thought she broke her neck on that dive. Anyway, so I give that one 2 body slams. Sasha does pick up the victory, by the way. And then that makes us segue over to the Women's Royal Rumble. I got to say this. I felt that the Women's Royal Rumble had more surprises and was better than the men's. We had plenty of NXT call-ups as well as some folks from the past joining. From NXT, Shotzi Blackheart, Toni Storm, Santana Garrett, Ember Moon, they all joined. Some of the throwbacks, Victoria, Jillian Hall. Hello. I haven't thought about Jillian Hall in forever. Mickey James, Tori Wilson, Alicia Fox, and of course, Lana returning. Those are some of the surprises. What'd you think of the match, Joey? We'll go with you first.
I'm on the same boat. Surprises. I found myself rooting for a couple people I wish would have went further. Like Toni Storm, it's pretty cool to see her. I wish she would have done more. I clearly picked Rhea Ripley, and I thought I was going to pull it off. And then, of course, Bianca won, which is cool that it came down to two up-and-comers like that. And I was very happy for Bianca. I still don't like her character. I don't like the hair. I don't like the character. I like her as a person, and I really like her reaction at the end. I was very happy for her. But I personally would have rather seen Rhea Ripley. Overall, I'll give it 4 body slams on the event itself.
All right. Rand, how about you?
Well, I like the way that the final three came down to Charlotte, Rhea Ripley, and Bianca. I like the fact that Billy Kay was funny early in the match.
Oh, I agree. I wrote that down. I like that too.
I think that's funny. I kind of think that the R-Truth coming into the match was unnecessary, but mm-hmm. I like R-Truth a lot. I like Tori Wilson a lot. There was a right amount of new people and old and returning. I think Victoria can do a lot if she's back. I think that was a one-off, though. There were some pleasant surprises, close call eliminations. There was a couple of moments you're not sure if somebody's going to get eliminated or not. And I think that's an underrated part of the Royal Rumble. You need to have, is this person hanging on or not, more than just sitting on the outside of the ropes. I thought it was the best not as good as the previous. I think it was a really good match. I give it 4 out of 5 body slams. I really liked it.
I was really surprised, though, how early Bayley was thrown out.
And she was number one.
But I thought she would have gone a while, you know, with her accolades and this, that, and the other. And she was my dark horse if Rhea didn't win. That's one of the surprises. But I did love Billy and Jilly as well. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, and I wrote down the other two things I wrote down was one, as I really enjoyed Carmella's wacky elimination, you know, where she inadvertently eliminated herself. I thought that was pretty lighthearted and fun. I think I saw Ruby Riott throw the heart punch more than once, and I'm like, yeah, I love me the heart punch, only seconded by the Iron Claw.
I like Ruby Riott's haircut.
Okay, that's a very random compliment, but okay. All right.
It makes her really cute. Sorry, I like the Riott Squad. I like Liv, too.
Okay. Well, but yeah, I thought this was a fun Royal Rumble. Joey, I agree with you 100%. I'm not sold on Bianca Belair. I don't like the hair. I think the hair is stupid. She is so – and it finally clicked with me yesterday. She is just so arrogant that I don't understand why they're trying to make her the babyface. Like, she reminds me of, like, I can't even think of a comparison, but like, you see the NFL players who are so talented and who are so, you know, good at what they do, and they know they're good and they don't hesitate to tell you how good they are. And like, to me, that's not likable. That's why I think if Bianca Belair was a heel, I would be a little bit more behind her.
I think her hair is her personality. I think if she didn't have that hair, she wouldn't be anything special.
My significant other made it a point too, is I think that, feel like the WWE is really trying to push diversity, which makes sense. And she's somebody that with that attitude, and she can appeal to younger females.
Okay,
that's one of the things I checked out a lot of Twitter reaction. Some of us old fogies, like, yeah, whatever, you know, cocky, this, that, and the other, get off my lawn mentality. But that cockiness resonates with a lot of the younger crowd. You know, it's a fresh face. So, she's done the flip-flop, too. She's been the heel, but I've seen her be a heel, and I like her better as a face. Like, I think they could get rid of the hair and do something, and she has enough personality that she doesn't need the hair.
Well, and I also give you the valid point that I do like the fact that we are getting, especially with those last two combatants in the Royal Rumble, that we were getting fresh faces. I do totally agree with you on that, Joey. And I think, you know, probably you agree as well, Rand, that we're getting somebody different in that women's division. But I guess now the question is, who does Bianca Belair take on at WrestleMania?
I think she goes after Sasha Banks. I think that's the matchup there.
I'm in complete agreement, because I think that matchup, and I think that's why you're maybe noticing a little bit more heelish Sasha, is I can see maybe a transition to the boss and the heel Sasha maybe going into Mania when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think like they'll be buddy-buddy at first, and then it'll end up Sasha just being the boss and turning on her and yada, yada, yada.
Well, I think either one that Bianca Belair takes on, whether it's Asuka, whether it's Sasha Banks, I think the one thing, no matter which one she chooses, I think that Belair will be able to demonstrate a lot of the power, because give her credit, she is a pretty strong athlete. And I think that, you know, Sasha or Asuka is going to be bumping around for her to make her look really, really good, as they should, because they are smaller than her.
And I think she'll work better with Sasha than she would Asuka.
Oh, I don't think there's any question that Asa and Charlotte will break up, and that'll be the other championship match.
Or Asuka wants to avenge that loss, because that was her first loss, was to Charlotte.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's smart booking. So what about the other thing that came out from Raw last night? Since we're talking about the women's division, Lana and Naomi are now the number one contenders for the tag team belts in the women's division. Joey, you talked about thrown together tag teams. Here's a prime example. But look, haven't we seen enough of Nia and Lana and Shayna? We don't need to see it anymore. It wasn't good the first time around. It's not going to be good the second time around. Can we just do something with Lana? Fire her if you don't want her around. Let her out of her deal. Whatever. I don't know what's going on, but just do something with her differently than the fact that she's like the klutzy blonde that wins just by some stupid-ass fluke.
I agree. Like, the whole, first of all, the putting them together like that's dog shit. It's random. I hate it. I've already talked about that. And I think Lana needs to go back to make her a valet and put her with somebody. Like, she would be perfect. I think it'd be a nice little alliance if they put her with Ziggler and Rude.
Yes. That would be awesome. I agree, 100%.
You have two good-looking dudes. You have the hot chick, and we're better than you. I think there should be a stable with Ziggler, Rude, Miz, and Morrison, and have somebody like that, like all the cocky, good-looking dudes together. That, you know, and I. But I think if you just put her as the valet, that'll bump around. That she'll eventually have to get into it with somebody because she pisses somebody off, but not a featured performer.
Yeah, agreed. Rand, do you have any thoughts on Lana?
Sometimes I wonder if the decisions are made on social media and she gets a lot of buzz, because it's clear that she's in over her head. maybe she needs to be outside the ropes more than inside the ropes.
So when you say social media, you mean the fact that she has a social media presence that's pretty strong and that's why she's getting the push?
Apparently. Is she popular on Instagram or anything else?
That's a great question, Rand. I have no idea. Joey, can you confirm or deny her popularity?
I heard she has a mystery YouTube that she doesn't talk about, but doesn't follow her. her man, they do stuff on the internet. That's TikTok, Instagram, you know, everybody does that. But I don't think that's why, you know, Vince loves blondes and she's good looking, so he'll want to keep her around and she does have a buzz. But that's why I say take that and put her with, but she can piss off people and put her with other people that'll piss people off. And that's why somebody like Ziggler and Rude, that would be perfect.
Okay, well, let's talk about another highlight, or maybe low light, depending on your opinion. We go to the Royal Rumble pre-show set, where we have our talking heads talking about what they've seen. And lo and behold, Peter Rosenberg gets a victory over R-Truth to become the 24/7 champion.
Love Rosenberg. Give it to him. Let him have it, because what that does is if he was on doing his podcast or his radio show, and that brought even more popularity to it without using a real title. It's not like when you had Arquette win the heavyweight title. Like, that was dumb. This is okay, because this is like a third-tier title. Like, it's, we all know it. It's not a big deal. So he lost it. It's over. It served its purpose. They got more pub on a sports talk show.
Wait a minute. Did Rosenberg lose it already or no? Or is he?
Yeah, he lost it yesterday. He lost it yesterday.
Oh,
during their little sports cast, whatever, their sports talk show. And, you know, it's cool. Like, I've always been Rosenberg Mark anyways. Ever since he wore that Bobby Heenan chalk line jacket, I've been all about Rosenberg. And he's a cool follow, especially with anything going on. Like, he's a pretty cool dude. And I think it was okay, you know, to do that with him. It didn't bother me, but it's the same thing over and over. Right. Whether it be the guy from Fox Sports, whether it be, you know, Gronk, but, you know, it's a joke of a title, so just keep doing it. I mean, whatever, there's still comical stuff to it at times, so.
Okay, I got to be honest with you. I knew that Peter Rosenberg was a sports, like, writer and reporter, but I didn't know he had his own radio show and podcast, so I learned something today.
Yeah, it was a sports talk show, and there was two other dudes. I apologize, their names escape me, but I'm pretty sure it's a New York sports talk show. Okay. He was on there, and then he's doing it from the hotel room, and then R-Truth sneaks in, R-Truth's hiding behind the curtain. It was comical. Yeah, you can't even give that, you can't even rate that, because it's not even a match. It's just, it's
no.
A vignette. His stuff's never a match. It's always vignettes.
Mm-hmm. And you'll also notice, by the way, listeners at home, that I have overlooked another thing in my notes, because quite frankly, I don't give a shit. And that would be the musical performance of Bad Bunny. Number one, I have no idea who this guy is. I didn't know he was a big deal. I had no clue. Secondly, that song was god awful. Like, I don't even know. Like, I know Booker T is in it, and that's about all I can tell you. But sadly, I think we're going to end up with a Bad Bunny celebrity feud, or celebrity matchup, I should say, at WrestleMania. What do you two think about the old Bad Bunny?
I think it's going to be Bad Bunny and Damian Prince versus The Miz and Morrison.
Okay.
I think that's pretty well laid out last night.
I don't know who this Damian Prince guy is, but I know Damian Priest is. And Damian Priest will be tagging with him. I would have thought it would be cool if it had been Booker T instead. But yet, obviously, that's going that way. But I actually, on Instagram last night, on the WWE, is something he showed up, and I simply put on there, who cares? And my Instagram blew up, because I was being get off my lawn Joey as again. I'm like, who cares? Because I want to see wrestling. But I was enlightened by the fact is young Latinos are really big fans of Bad Bunny. And, you know, they have Ray and they have this, but they don't have ways to try and work to go after that demographic. So they're reaching out into that, and it makes sense. All it is it's the 2021 version of bringing in Cyndi Lauper at WrestleMania 1, right? she was the hot pop star that she bringing in. And Bad Bunny is the hot, he's the hot star. He does cameos in all kinds of songs. And on top of all of that, he debuted a new collaboration with Adidas, a sneaker, on Raw last night. So that plugged Adidas into it too. So there's some background stuff going on with that. So do we like it? No, we're old. We don't like that music. We don't understand it. We're not hip. I mean, we're three guys that aren't hip, let's be honest. But there's a reason for it. And it seems like it's good because it's drawing in that crowd.
That would be a great name for a new podcast. Three guys who aren't hip. All right. Well, again,
three guys who aren't hip but are prone to break there soon.
Yes, there you go. All right. I don't get it, but I don't know. Bad Bunny to me seems like a knockoff version of Pitbull. But
let's do it like this, John. And I know a lot of people weren't privy, and they'll be privy to the show come February 11th on Independent Wrestling Television. Is we worked with a ring announcer that we would have not enjoyed at a regular show, but because of the theme of the show and because of the way the show was going and the flow, it made sense. So it's kind of a something similar where, you know, it makes sense with what's going on, in my opinion, for the situation. And maybe we're just being fuddy-duddy.
Okay. We'll resign it to that we are just not the key demographic that the WWE and Bad Bunny wants to procure. We'll go with that. Okay. Hey, real quickly though, guys, before we move on and talk about our next couple of matches here, it's that time in the podcast where I have to thank my great sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. They're the one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. I mean, they've got single issues, they got graphic novels, collection, toys, thousands and thousands of back issues, collectibles, posters. And then if you want to make sure that you don't miss a single issue of your favorite comic, you sign up for their pull system and you can kiss that fear goodbye. Every time that book comes in, they'll hold it for you at the register till you stop by and pick it up. So stop on over and check them out, especially if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or if you're not in the Central Ohio area, you can swing on by their website, wgcomics.com, and they're even on Facebook. Just look for at WG Comics. No word on if the superhero bidets are in stock.
Oh, I forgot about those. Yeah, superhero-themed bidets.
Yeah, there you go.
Can you imagine was Shazam and it shocked your nuts?
I was just going to say, I hope there's none that are Thanos, because, you know, that would probably seem like that would hurt.
One snap and you're castrated.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to our next title match. Roman Reigns is going to take on Kevin Owens in a last man standing match. Joey, let's start with you. What'd you think of this match? What'd you rate it?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was pleasantly surprised, because it's tough sometimes with some here and there, because we've been privy to a lot of great last man standing matches. I think this one lived up to the hype from the golf cart, from the jump off the top of the, yeah. From jump off the top of anything, it seemed like at that point, all until Paul Heyman didn't know how to take off a damn pair of handcuffs. like he was so confused on what was going on there. And I'm just like, so it kind of killed the momentum of the match, the handcuff spot, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's still served his person, excuse purpose. Kevin Owens still looks strong, and Roman Reigns went over. And that's what it needed to do. It served its purpose. I gave it 4.5 body slams.
I'm right there with you. I gave it 4. I think there was a lot of great action in this. There was an extra high senton bomb that I'm just amazed that Kevin Owens got up from. A lot of good stuff, but like you mentioned, DJ, that Paul Heyman not using the handcuffs just put an unnecessary speed bump in it. I think it was a really good match, and I gave it some good scores. I thought I really liked it. It made both guys look good, told the story. I'm just glad there wasn't any of the Usos involved.
Well, but see, I think, and I'm going to go with 3 body slams for this match, because, again, it had some outrageous bumps. It told an interesting story. Yes, it took forever to get the handcuffs off, but I think I would have liked to seen somebody interfere. And I think this would have been if you're going to pull the trigger on the Apollo Crews heel turn, this would have been the place to do it, where he comes out and costs Owens the match. And then that way you have something for Apollo and you have something for Kevin Owens to do in a couple of months when WrestleMania rolls around, where they could have some type of stipulation match or something along those lines. But overall, I mean, that golf cart, geez, man, that few inches one way or the other, and you're jacked up for life, Kevin Owens. So mad props to you, man. That's a bump I don't think too many people would want to take.
I think Kevin Owens is probably one of the most, if not the most, underappreciated talents in pro wrestling today. From his mic work, from his in-ring work, from his ability to do whatever, and the fact that he's a fan by heart and by nature. And you and I, you know, I know myself, I know yourself, John, you know, we're big Kevin Steen fans back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just think that he is underrated still and underutilized. But on the same token, too, he's one of those talents that doesn't need a title to get over.
Right.
What do you think's holding him back?
I can answer that. He's not jacked.
His look? He's more like Bam Bam Bigelow than Lex Luger?
Yeah. Yes. He's much more Bam Bam Bigelow than Lex Luger.
That's not a bad thing. Bam Bam Bigelow was an amazing talent. They just didn't give him it. But also, 85% of the time, 90% of the time, Bigelow didn't need a title to get over. He's Bam Bam Bigelow. He's got the tats. He's a badass. And Kevin Owens has fallen into that category, too. I'd like to see him with a secondary title and have a nice run, but I don't know. I don't know where you can go with his character now. He's lost three times to Roman Reigns. What do you do next?
Well, that's why I said I think that if my idea, you know, had come to fruition, then you'd have something for him to do. And it could still be an upper card feud that you could have, especially if Heyman is managing Apollo Crews. Like, the mouth and his promos could really just irk, you know, Owens into all kinds of different situations. I think that would have been the way to go. But we'll have to wait and see. I don't even know if they're going to pull that trigger with Apollo Crews or not.
Maybe they were going to, but there's no Uso or Apollo in the Rumble. So maybe they're not healthy.
Maybe. I mean, there was a lot of, in fact, we're getting to the men's Royal Rumble. There were a lot of switches from what I understand. I guess Otis was a last minute addition. He was not originally supposed to be in the Royal Rumble, but they had switched. There was another one that they had made a switch on too that I can't remember for the life of me now. But let's talk about the men's Royal Rumble. Number one and number two is Edge and Randy Orton. So Orton doesn't wear the Destroyer mask anymore. So his face is all healed up, so he doesn't have to wear the mask.
That was pretty fast, huh? To have that third degree burns or whatever, and all of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, shit. Randy should have told Ron Garvin where to go for a doctor in, you know, when he got burned in 1987. So, but that would require time travel. Never mind. Anyways. So, yeah, this is where I think, Joey, you are going to disagree we're going to disagree. Edge is our winner, and you did indeed select Edge to be the winner of the Men's Royal Rumble, whereas I had Sheamus, Rand had AJ Styles. Okay, I agree that this is a great way to build Edge and his legacy and to give him a Mania match and all that jazz, but I felt it was a little bit silly and preposterous that he started at number one and lasted the entire time. I feel like, to me, it would have made more sense if he was like number 12, number 13, somewhere there where he has to still go a long time, but not the entire time.
So I get that, but it also built that there's also that story with him and Randy. So it was able to tell that story. And you knew the way they were focused on him that Randy was going to come back at some point.
Right.
So I think it helped fuel that, and it helped them close the book, especially with their match maybe last night. I don't know that they're moving on to the next whatever with them, because he's still going to kind of, you know, it's been this long, he's still going to have it, you know, be pissed. You know, I think it was, and plus it's another accolade to put. I'm not an Edge fan, and I hate that I have to defend him, but even though he's won a Rumble, now you can put the accolade that he's won it from the number one spot. So there's a reason why you come back. And it's to get these little things like this. And so I don't mind it. Who else are you going to have win it?
Well, that's what we said last week. Who knows? I mean, They really hadn't built anybody.
Keith Lee could have been in it, and he won it, but he wasn't even in it, supposedly because Mia has COVID. So, well, you know, there's, you know, my dark horse is Daniel Bryan, which that would have been sweet, have him win it. And they were teasing it, and have him maybe win it, and then take on Roman Reigns, and then whatever, and then you could do whatever. But, you know, I think, you know, and I hate to question the wrestling logic, but I think it made the most sense. And, you know, that's, that adds superstar power to a main event.
So real quickly, I gave the men's Royal Rumble 3 body slams. And we'll talk about the surprise entrance, if you will. There weren't that many. Joey, what did you give it? How many body slams?
I gave it 4. I was enthralled the whole time. I was doing the countdown. I was waiting who's going to come out next. I popped. You know, you said the surprises weren't big, but I popped for Carlito, who was a great gimmick, and he hasn't been around forever. Mm-hmm. And then I popped for Christian, which was a humongous surprise because I thought he was done. And I'm a huge mark for Christian. I'm a peep, dude. And for both of those, there was no spoilers for that to go under the radar. So those were big to me. And I have a feeling like there might have been more. They could have put somebody in instead of Otis, but they had to use Otis for who was it? The guy that gives the roses that Brand likes.
Angel Garza?
Yeah, that was supposed to be Angel Garza's spot.
Yes.
Which they gave to Owens. My takeaway from all this, though, is why I think you make Strowman look weak by putting him in so late, not winning it. That's my only gripe from it. If you're going to put him in early, and it takes 15 guys to get rid of him. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't put him in so late and Edge and Christian get rid of you. You're supposed to be a big, bad monster.
Right. Speaking of monsters, the Big Red Machine Kane was in the Royal Rumble, as was
who called that? Who called Kane?
You did.
That's right.
Rand, what did you think, and what was your rating for the men's Royal Rumble?
I was pleasantly surprised. Everything I thought was going to happen was wrong. So I agree. We had two people who came back that I thought would have been served to do well. Ricochet was just average. He's been out for a while. Seth Rollins comes back late. We don't know whether he's going to be a good guy or a bad guy. He comes in at number 29. You've got a former world champion, one of your best workers, comes in at 29 and doesn't win. Similar to Braun, he doesn't look good because of that. You went for Christian on the Big Pop. I went for Hurricane Helms. That was a great surprise to me. I think that was fun. We didn't take him too seriously. I liked the way that AJ Styles kept getting caught in midair when they were trying to eliminate him. Every time they showed Randy Orton in the back getting treatment, I knew he was coming back. And if he didn't win it, it was going to be Edge. I could just see that coming. I think there's a few people we just need to get rid of in this company, like Mustafa Ali. I think that whole thing with his group is just weak. It could have been something. They were behind the scenes. They were doing things. Now they're losing to everybody. But overall, I gave it 3.5 because it to me, it's the one match of the year that sets everything else up. You've got 30 people. You can set up all kinds of feuds. You have pleasant surprises. You have a little bit of comedy. It's my favorite match of the year, just about every year. So I gave it 3.5.
Well, we now also have two more pay-per-views. February 21st is Elimination Chamber, and I believe, is it March 18th or March 21st? I don't remember. Whatever that third Sunday is in March, where you have Fastlane, and I'm 21st. Pulling up my calendar. As I'm pulling up my calendar, I'm sorry, it is the 21st. It is February 21st and March 21st for the next two pay-per-views leading into Mania. So things that hopefully, by the time that Fastlane is over, we'll have the solid card to go with and be able to preview at that time. Personally, I got to be honest, I think that Elimination Chamber should just not even happen. February already is a short enough month. I don't see why they need to do that pay-per-view. I think it never adds anything to Mania. I think it detracts most of the time because in years past, Elimination Chamber has injured somebody. And then, therefore, you had to scrap plans anyways for Mania. Any comments on those pay-per-views, Fastlane or Elimination Chamber, gentlemen?
I think Elimination Chamber is probably going to set up the Raw side of things, where the winner will get a shot at Drew McIntyre, and obviously the main will be Sheamus versus Drew. So the winner will get a shot at the WWE champion. So I think that's nice of that. I think it's weird to have two pay-per-views, but on the road to WrestleMania.
Oh, I agree, too. All right, Rand, do you have any random facts for us here today?
Well, did you know that Shane McMahon was once a referee outside of the Royal Rumble?
No. Did you know that, Joey?
Oh, he did some ref and stuff back in the – he was like, what, 16 or 17, I think, when he did it, too.
Yeah.
I knew that Shane was one of the attendants that would take robes back to the back during Superstars tapings, and Stephanie and Shane were also models in the WWF catalog that was in the WWF magazine.
Is that before or after Stephanie was hanging out with Savage?
I believe at the same time.
Fantastic.
I also remember they were front row one show with The Undertaker where they were the creatures of the night.
Really?
They were dressed in black with goth makeup on, and they were like fans of The Undertaker, probably when they were late teenagers.
Oh, man. All right. Any other random facts there?
The Brooklyn Brawler was with the company for 33 years and never in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, get out of town. I can't believe that.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me. That's amazing.
You wanted a random fact, and I gave you one.
No, you gave us that. That's the like the diamond or platinum level of a random fact, if you ask me. So, all right. Well, gentlemen, I think it's about time for us to start wrapping things up. DJ Joey Blaze, you want to tell folks where they can find you on the internet?
Well, I want to say something really quick. I was in Target today, and I found, because you guys are wrestling figure aficionados, the AEW, that's right, the best heel in the business, MJF figure.
Did you pick it up?
You bet your sweet ass I picked that up. So he is awesome. He is now home at with myself. And the Macho Man, the WrestleMania 3 ring, little mini ring. Have you seen those figures?
I have not.
So there's Savage, there's Andre, and you know those little rings they came to the ring with in Mania 3 with?
Yeah.
So they're packaged with that.
Really?
The golf carts that held one or two people?
Yeah, but it was like a little miniature ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the platform maybe 5 feet across.
Oh, yeah, just know it's on the ring post. Yeah, but they did a Savage one and an Andre one. So I picked that up recently, too. So I got that, and I'm glad I have my MJF figure. And here's another fact. In that series, there's a John Moxley that's a Chase figure. He's one of 500, and they resell on eBay for $400 to $600 brand new in the box.
Wow.
Yikes.
I mean, if anybody ever says John Moxley never drew a dime, well, there you go.
Hey, did you pick up a Brandi Rhodes action figure?
I never found it. They short boxed it in the initial run, and I never found one in a store.
Oh, okay.
Those things went for big money too.
Big money, no whammy. Big money, no whammy. Stop. It's a little.
So I strongly suggest if you that whole series though, it has just the figures. They look great. I don't know if you've seen them in person or looked them up, but I suggest checking them out.
Cool, man. Cool. All right. Well, if people want to wax intellectually with you about action figures, where can they do that at?
You can find me on Twitter at DJ Joey Blaze, or you can find me on Instagram there where I get hammered by WWE fans for saying, who cares about Bad Bunny?
But you know what? You learn something, though, right? You learn something, and that's the important thing.
Very true. Very, very true.
Because knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe.
I picked up a Firefly figure this week, too, of the new Cobra Island figures.
All right.
Not like 40-year-old men talking about picking up toys.
It's all right, man.
I'm glad you included the word toys.
What other word would you...
All right, guys, what a fantastic ending to a fantastic podcast.
All right. Rand, where can folks get in touch with you on the interwebs?
I'm still, when it's open, when you can fully reach people on Twitter, it's at randzitmar.com. No, just at randzitmar.
You should start your own website.
What's a YouTube one? Tell us that YouTube channel.
Well, if you knew the name that I used when I did stand-up comedy, you would find it.
Okay. It's Danny Blaster, isn't it?
Is it under Dick Trickle? So...
All right, let's get on out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my discussion of the Royal Rumble with DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand, the pro wrestling pundits. And, you know, maybe you agree with some of the opinions we shared, and maybe you disagree. And that's cool, man, if you do. Maybe you want to express that agreement or disagreement, and let me tell you how you can do that. You can get in touch with me a couple different ways. First off, you can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is my email address. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook or Instagram feeds of the podcast. Just search for at PVDcast. And you can even find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. There's a bunch of different places where you can get this podcast. Of course, obviously, PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is probably the best place to go. But it's also available through all those major podcasting platforms, you know, like Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Basically, just go to your favorite platform. In the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put John Orlando after it, and you should find it. And when you listen to an episode, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and subscribing makes sure you never miss an episode. And I also do a few live broadcasts through the week I need to let you know about. Every Monday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, through PVDcast Facebook page, you can catch a live broadcast of the week's episode. And it's replayed every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time through the Scene Snobs Facebook page. And I definitely want to thank, of course, Mick and the Scene Snobs for distributing out the PVDcast. Truly do appreciate it. Check out all of the stuff going on with that great network over at thescenesnobs.com. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you for listening one more time, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.